Blog Talk Radio.
I can't see. There's mist in my eyes. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am here with...
Over in the foggy corner, it's Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with the amazing and wonderful...
This is CW with the driving the highways and byways of the world with her fog lights on.
Yep, that would be the low beams, right?
Low beams, high beams, mid beams, somewhere in there.
Is this some sort of strange metaphor that I'm not... Anyway, we got radio programs about movie, or about fog, rather, as your hosts in the mists, kind of like gorillas. We got two programs tonight. CBS Radio Workshop and Theater 5. So that'll be fun.
Yep. And still some more fog. The fog is starting to lift, but it's not gone yet, Dale.
No, and Fogs Bane is here along with good old Bob. I sense connectivity issues. Good old Bob keeps popping in and out of the chat. So did you, Dave, for that matter.
Well, no, I was going in and out to get my picture. That's why. Because otherwise, I'm just a green glob there. I don't want to be a green glob in the live chat. Don't want to be green glob. It ain't easy to be a green.
I'm going to have to make more memes dishing on Blog Talk.
More?
Like three or four of them lately.
Yeah, and they deserved it.
Yes. They're fun to do. They're fun to make. Those little, take those horror pictures and put the funny captions on them.
Yep.
And try to loop it all into Eerie House Radio, where we have some wonderful programming for you tonight.
We do. And I'm looking here to get rid of some of these things we've got that are in our way yet. But
you know, all this rehearsing, and I still miss my lines. It's terrible.
What magnificent is coming out of the fog? Remember, if anyone's interested in a good movie, John Carpenter's The Fog. Absolutely.
We touched on it very briefly. If you want to share a little bit more about it, it's one of his movies I'm not overly familiar with, although I love Adrienne Barbeau.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down. Yes, Adrienne Barbeau is in the movie. You also have Hal Holbrook, but you have daughter and mother, Scream Queens galore, Jamie Lee Curtis, and her mother, Janet Lee, are in that movie.
Really?
And absolutely. Janet Lee, of course, from the original Psycho. And, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis from the Halloween movies. Absolutely fabulous. They even have some scenes together.
Wow. I think I missed the release of it. My cousin had gotten into a very, very, very bad car wreck in the fog when that movie was being released. So I kind of, I mean, she was banged up bad. She was lucky to live. Lots of pins and operations and stuff like that.
Ouch.
Yeah. But she's a tough gal and pulled out of it.
But definitely, if you want to see it, of course, it was a remake of The Fog, and I've seen the remake. And it's not bad, but the original, I think, is a tad better. There are some bits in the newer version that go more into what causes the fog, a little bit more depth in the story. But, you know, Hal Holbrook is in there, always guaranteed a fabulous performance when he's in a movie.
Yes, absolutely.
I got to meet Adrienne Barbeau briefly. She was at the very first Horror Hound that I ever went to. I'm gonna say that was around 2009, 2010.
Cool.
I went with Jim Klink. I really didn't know any of the other horror hosts yet. But I met one person that I worked with very closely for about 4 years, 4 or 5 years. But she was very interesting and very, very nice, very nice, very gracious towards the fans.
You know? Jay Bach, who is a member of my crew upon occasion, he originally was a Hollywood stuntman. And one of the movies he worked on was Escape from New York. In the beginning of the movie, the first raft that is trying to escape from New York and gets blown up, he's one of the guys on that raft that gets blown up.
Yeah. Funny that you mentioned that Hal Holbrook is in The Fog. Hal Holbrook worked with Adrian Barbeau in the first Creepshow movie, the episode The Crate.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Remember, Hal Holbrook was married to her in that, and she was like a real shrew. And he finds
her crazy,
right. An evil creature in it. And he's like a college professor. And she's like this absolute shrew. And humiliates him all the time. And it's pretty cool. It's along the lines of the old Tales from the Crypt on HBO. It's an anthology movie.
Yeah.
Creepshow. Stephen King wrote it.
Yep.
Ooh. Yeah, and
did he write the movie?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I believe he did. It was an homage to the EC comics. So they also released a, I don't know if you'd call it a graphic novel, but it was a magazine-sized comic book with a hard not a hardcover, but like a paperback cover.
Because I knew he wrote a lot of stories that were movies were based on. I didn't realize he actually wrote many screenplays.
He did, and then he also appeared in one of the segments in the first Creepshow, too.
Oh, okay.
When the meteor comes and makes, like, these plants take over the Earth. He plays a kind of dude. Kind of a funny role for him. But it was actually a starring role for him. I don't know that he's ever starred or mainlined in anything else as far as acting, end.
He'd been more like a Hitchcock, you know, just a quick, brief appearance if you can catch him.
Cameos, yeah. Yep. Quick cameos.
Yeah, Hal Holbrook did have, I think he did, not movie-wise, but, no, I digress. He was Deep Throat in All the President's Men with Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford.
Ooh. Cool.
That line, that famous line, just follow the money.
Oh, it was a good foggy episode in Outer Limits. Do you remember? Do you remember the one that the whole town is like taken away to another world and it's shrouded in fog? That was a good one.
On Outer Limits, I don't remember that one off the top of my head.
That Twilight Zone or Outer Limits?
Maybe it's a Twilight Zone. Maybe it's a Twilight Zone. I thought it was an Old Limits.
It's an
Old Limits.
Out of Limits?
I think so.
I do remember all the people got together and decided not to cooperate so they wouldn't snatch another. Or is that? I think I'm getting my episode mixed up because I remember. I think they redid it in New Twilight Zone, one of the reboots of the Twilight Zone. I'm going to have to look.
Oh, about a feasibility study, Dale.
Yeah. Yes.
A feasibility study. Yeah.
That is the one. Thank you. My brain was starting to hurt.
Ah, thank you. Thanks, Dave.
I cut my brain in the cabinet. It hurts. Where are we going to start tonight with our radio programming? We got some good shows to share.
We do. You know what? I think it's always interesting what CBS Radio Workshop does. This was a late in network radio production. CBS has always had the Columbia Workshop where they did experimentation. Well, this was quite experimental. Different types of stories, different kinds of things. And I think that should... we should start off there. It's such a good effort with sometimes having three sound effect at that point, my I don't think you were called Foley artist yet, but three sound effect guys at in one particular show, which was very, very rare. Nobody spent that much money on sound effect guys, usually.
But Workshop did, and this episode is called Light Ship, or Light Ship, or Light Ship. I don't know. Pronunciation matters. Enunciation as
yep,
well.
Yep.
Yep, and this one was originally broadcast
April 28th of 1957.
Think there'd be a goat.
There was a goat. Do it again. Do it again.
You're 20 minutes early, Clark. I know. It's
much better.
Below. I couldn't sleep. Like the boy aft. Oh, he can't sleep because he's lonely. We better get off this station soon. Is that thunder or the reef?
The reef. But there's lightning off to the east and the wind's picking up. We're in for a storm. A bad one, I'm afraid.
Well, when you finish your pipe, why don't you turn in? I'll take over the watch.
What was that? I thought I heard...
CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Today, Lightship, based on the novel by Archie Binns and adapted for radio by Draper Lewis. Before the perfection of the radio beacon, the lightships, which guard our many miles of coastline, were equipped with an underwater bell, which worked simultaneously with the foghorn during bad weather to warn passing ships of the dangerous reefs and serve as a navigational aid. When visibility was good, two oil beacons, fore and aft, identified her position. It is aboard one of these early ships that our story takes place, when a seaman's length of service depended not only upon his efficiency, but his ability to survive the corrosive monotony of the long, uninterrupted months of duty aboard the tiny steel island of a lightship.
One to see him. The four men saw him.
He was sitting on his bunk when I went up to relieve the 4 o'clock watch. He didn't say anything to me. He was just sitting there talking to himself. I put some coal on the stove in the galley, had a cup of coffee, and then went out on deck.
Oh, I was going to say something when he passed me, but I don't know what to say. He has such a funny look on his face, in his eyes. Wide open, staring. Like someone under a spell. Or like a dead man.
Barometer's dropping fast, Mr. Hansen. I want a man put forward to keep a constant check on the snubbing gear. If we ever broke loose from our mooring, this wind would push us right on top of the reef. Ship's company all present?
There's a fireman on duty in the engine room and a man on the bridge. Two below sleeping, Captain. Mr. Gill, will you take the forward watch?
I've had no sleep all night long. And besides, Clark was supposed to be...
Oh, get off my back, will you? You're worse than an old woman, always bellyaching, complaining you're doing more work than anybody else aboard.
Clark, shut up.
Mr. Gill, you heard my order?
Yes, I heard you.
Coffee, Captain?
Thank you, Clark. At approximately 3:42 a.m., we lost a man overboard. I want to know why. I want to know why, and I want to know how.
Well, he jumped, sir. I was more than 10, 12 feet from him.
Nobody touched him. He just jumped all by himself.
I heard the boy cry out, but by the time I got there, Clark and Mr. Hansen had already tossed over a line, and he was gone. He left these shoes by the companionway. They were his Sunday best. I guess he didn't want to get them wet.
Well, he was crazy. All he talked about was what he was going to do when he got ashore. Everyone knew he was crazy, sir.
Obviously, you know a great deal more about this than I do, Ben. Now, suppose you start at the beginning.
Well, there's no place to begin, sir. It's just part of everything else that's happened on this trip. You know, about the oil for the beacons and how everyone else has been getting on everyone else's nerves.
I want to hear the whole story, Ben.
If I'd known it was going to be like this, I never would have signed on in the first place. I thought we just came up to this station for 5 or 6 months and did our job and then went back to Seattle. Nobody told me we'd be stuck like this for almost 9 months now.
Now, it's not always this way, Ben, my lad. I told you that.
Sure, sure, you told me. And a lot I could have done about it. You told me when the relief was already a month late. And to make it worse, the fog came in. I don't care what you say. We've been stuck out here way too long now. If it weren't for my concertina.
Well, you're young, Ben. You'll learn. This is your first trip, isn't it?
Aboard a lightship, yes. It's going to be my last, too.
It's not always as rough as this, Ben. Look at me. I've been doing lightship service half my life. 20 years aboard this self-same ship, and I enjoy it. This is an important station. That reef is only a mile and a half to the starboard, and in rough weather or in a fog, a lot of ships would break up on it without our lights and our whistle and band. You know, we're not out here just to admire the scenery, Ben.
I still want to get back to Seattle.
Yeah. Hand me that wrench for your side, will you?
A catch.
Thanks. There. Now we'll just give her a dash of white lead, and that should do it.
Chief!
I'm here.
Fog's coming in. The mate says to start the bell.
I was afraid it was getting too quiet around here. Start it up for me, will you, Ben?
Sure. How far away can a ship hear our signal, Chief?
Oh, it can be picked up as far away as 14 miles under perfect weather conditions. Now, those submarine telephones are pretty sensitive instruments.
Start the whistle, Chief.
Yes, I was waiting for that.
When I'm asleep and that thing goes off, I go straight up in the air every time.
I don't even hear it anymore. Of course, it can get a mite on your nerves if you're fogged in for a week or so.
A week or so? Oh, you're kidding, I hope. Oh, it's a terrible sound the way it goes right through you. This fog couldn't last a week. Could it, Chief?
But shut that door.
You heard enough of that fog on for the last 9 days without having it right here in the room with us?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Gill. I didn't think it was going to blow right then.
Harry, see what you can do about those eggs of mine, will you? And my compliments to the cook on his coffee. It's even worse than usual.
Oh, it's only yesterday's grounds, Mr. Clark. We're conserving, you know. I had to dump what was left of the meat and flour overboard yesterday.
You did what? What did you do with the meat and flour, Harry?
I had to do it. The meat was bad, and the flour was all gray and smelled terrible. The cook knew, but he didn't care. He would have gone right ahead and used them, but I threw them overboard.
You threw them overboard? And how did you know that some of that stuff wasn't good, you little idiot? At sea, you eat as long as there's anything to eat, whatever it smells.
Clark, he was only trying to keep us out from getting sick on bad food.
I'm sorry, Harry. Get the eggs. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't like losing my temper. I usually don't.
The relief better get here soon. Real soon. Harry, I want to talk to you.
Boy, I never knew that fella Clark had such a temper. He could hurt you bad if he ever hit you. He's built, really built.
Harry, you talked about the meat and flour. You promised me you wouldn't.
Now, why don't you go below and get some rest, huh? I'll finish up here, Chief.
You don't like me, do you, Harry? You want the captain to lock me up in the hole, don't you? That's why you talked about the meat and flour when you promised me you wouldn't. When are we going back to Seattle, Harry? Are we going soon?
I don't know when we're going back, but running low on food's never going to make the captain leave this station. As long as we got coal to make those engines run and blow the whistle and ring the bell, as long as there's oil for the beacon lamps here, we stay until the relief comes to take our place. And who knows when that's going to happen?
Somebody's got to tell them, Harry. Somebody's got to do something. You and I can do something, can't we, Harry?
Cook. Cook, here. I have a movie magazine for you. You can have it if you go below and get some sleep.
I don't want to sleep. I can't sleep. I just lie there and listen to the foghorn. Is it a new magazine? Why didn't you give it to me before? I suppose it's been here for months and you didn't bother giving it to me when you know it would give me a few minutes of happiness.
Cook, you want it or not. If you don't, I'm going to give it to Mr. Gill. He likes to read.
No, please. Don't let him have it. You wouldn't take it away from me, would you? You know how I suffer with nowhere to go and nothing to do. Give it to me, and then, Harry, maybe I can read myself to sleep.
Yeah, this dude sounds like he could use a little sleep. We're here with myself and CW and Dave Binkley.
You know, go ahead. Go ahead, CW.
Thank you. Just going to say that, being marooned on an island, taking care of the fog lights and whatnot, for some people would be madness. For yours truly, as long as the Wi-Fi held out, it would be a vacation.
It would be nice to get away from it all, except unless you're stuck up there with, what's his name? I'm blowing this gag already. Oh, what was that movie that came out recently? Help me.
The Castaway?
No. We're not Christopher Walken, the other crazy dude. Help me, CW. He played the Green Goblin in the Spider-Man movie.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe was in that movie. I think it's called The Lighthouse, is it not?
I think so. I know the one you're talking about.
It's black and white, which is amazing.
Huh.
He made it in black and white.
That one I've not seen.
Really? Black and white? Cool.
Yeah. It's a very cool movie with Willem Dafoe. These two guys locked up in a lighthouse.
When you introduced the light ship, it reminded me of one of the breaks from our newest yet-to-be-seen weirdness really bad movie. It was a commercial break, and I'm going to share that right now.
Why not?
Ship my pants. Right here? Ship my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow. I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants, too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants, and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. They were
That's
able to broadcast
funny.
It.
Yep. Yeah, they did. Yep.
I love it.
I saw that and I said, can I use this? Can I use this? And I said, yeah, I'm using it.
Wow.
Funny. That's good stuff, Dave.
We went to Rubber City Clothing and we hosted the movie Dress to Kill. And so all the breaks had to do with clothing. And that was one of the breaks that had to do with clothing, yeah.
Yes, it did.
Wow.
It was pretty gutsy. That's a pretty gutsy ad.
Most
yes,
definitely.
It is. That's gutsy for you, Dave, too. That's dancing on the minefield.
I won't lose any sleep over tonight. It's funny.
It's damn funny. It's not just funny. It's damn funny. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
The mind boggles.
I don't know how I can top that for tonight. I think nope. That reaches the Mount Everest for the evening. That's it.
No sense in going on. Good night, folks. We're not going to do any better than that.
See ya.
Wait.
See ya. You don't get to hear the end of
the second ship. The end of the ship part. Oh no.
All right. I give. We'll wrap up the light ship from CBS Radio Workshop.
Chief, could we make it back to port with the coal we have?
Well, that'd be a coal tender with a relief whenever she gets here.
You didn't answer my question.
Maybe yes, maybe not.
Barring unforeseen difficulties, we could possibly make port.
Possibly. But as you say, Captain, barring unforeseen difficulties.
Harry says the cook just lies in his bunk like a dead man, doesn't move. He just lies there. He'll be all right. As soon as he gets ashore. I've never seen a dead man. Up close, I mean. Death is nothing to be afraid of, boy. Oh, but death at sea is a lonesome thing. It's terrible. Listen. Out there in the fog, to starboard. That must be the relief. The relief has finally made it.
Have you ever seen anything prettier in your life than that sunshine this morning when the fog finally rolled out to sea? And isn't that relief the most beautiful sight you ever saw, Captain? Isn't she a sight to behold now?
She's obviously lost her tender. Still think we can make it on the coal we've got?
We'll make it if I have to feed that coal in a lump at a time with my bare hands.
Here's your megaphone, Captain. You must be going to toss some ale over. There's a man on the aft deck.
Hey, Clark! Look at that cook. He's all dressed up in a blue suit. He must think we're in Seattle already.
He's coming in close on this run, Clark. Catch the line that sailor's throwing.
Watch out for the weight, man.
Kiss me. Got it.
Leave us now!
We're going to trouble! We're
port, the Swift Shore went adrift in a gale. Pulled her snubbing gear clean through her nose and went aground. I hope that storm doesn't hit us. I'd hate to think of piling up on that reef.
I had to lock the cook in a stateroom. Took three of us to get him below. How long do you think it will be before the relief gets back to us?
I only wish I knew. But until she does, we have a job to do, and we're going to do it.
I talked to the cook for a long time, and he was quiet then, so I asked the captain if it was all right to let him come up to the galley.
How is she now?
Well, he's better. I wish I could do something for him. It's terrible watching him day after day, knowing you can't reach him. Knowing what he's going through, it's terrible.
He's going out of his mind from loneliness and watching the sea.
If he could just get ashore for a day or so, you know? Even a few hours. Mr. Hanson, you smell oil?
One of the boys in the engine room must have spilled some on the deck.
No, it's down there. Look, on the water. It's coming out of the ship and spreading over the water.
It's not coming out of the ship. It's being pumped out. Chief O'Rourke! Chief O'Rourke!
What are you doing out here without oil? I told you just to fill the cups.
Well, I haven't touched the engines in over an hour. You still what you told me to
are
do?
Are you lying, you little sneak? For 2 cents, I'd drag you up to the captain right now and tell him what you've done. Don't you know we need every drop of oil we have?
Will you listen to me when I tell you I haven't touched the oil? Look at the drums yourself if you're so smart. Go on, Mr. Smarty O'Rourke. You think you know it?
Don't you ever use that kind of language with me, Mr. I'd break in two with my bare hands. Oh, we've taken a lot from you on this trip, but I've not taken any more. And especially not any of your smart talk. Now get out of this engine room and don't show your face down here again.
Oh, look, up here. It's the lamp oil. Somebody cut the lashing and that's the scupper.
I'm sorry this happened. I don't suspect anybody. But if one of you know about this, I expect him to tell me. Where's the cook? I want everybody here.
He's here, sir. I told him you wanted to see him.
I've been in my cabin. You should put me ashore because I've been sick, very sick.
If anyone jettisoned that oil thinking it would get us in from the station any sooner, he showed poor sense. Whatever happens, we're here till Swift Shore is repaired and the relief comes back. We've been on station a long time through no one's fault. I don't want to punish anyone. But our first consideration is to give light to other ships. And we must be careful of the little oil we have left. Until we are relieved, there are to be no more lights in the cabins. That's all I have to say.
That's where it was, Captain Lindstrom. If some of the lights in the cabins had been on, it wouldn't have been so dark back there in the stern, sir, but nobody went anywhere near him. I guess maybe he just made up his mind he couldn't stand it any longer and went ashore.
Yes, I guess that's just what he did, Ben. Now, Chief, you can put those shoes in the forward locker.
I can. Hey, Clark. Smell the soles of his shoes. Feel them.
It's oil. They're soaked in oil.
And the cook's never set foot inside. Only one way he could have been walking in oil.
When he emptied the drum of lamp oil.
That's exactly what I mean, sir.
You better come forward, sir. The wind's increasing, and I think the moorings beginning to slip.
Stand back. She's bucking hard again.
Much more punishment like that, sir. She'll comb through the snubbing gear just like the Swift Shore.
There's no way we can get a bearing now to know if she's dragging either. Better tell the chief to start the engines and run them at half speed. That'll take some of the strain off the mooring chains and help keep us on station.
Right, sir.
Spread it out easy, boy. Like that. Spread it out over the fire. It can't be wasted. Plenty coal.
an hour, we'll end up sure on that reef.
But if she breaks loose, we won't have enough coal to get back to port now. What are we going to do if she breaks loose?
We'll worry about that when it happens, boy. Now, don't stand there like a tourist. Get up to the captain and find out what's going on. I'll tell him the second bunker is empty. We have one more to go. Like a bathtub from those seas breaking in over the port.
Well, we can't head her into the seas. It'll take too much coal. Wind shifting a little. If it gets astern of us in time, we'll be all right.
Piece of bread.
We're going on the reef, aren't we, Chief?
No, we're not going on the reef, not as long as there's a pound of steam left on those boilers. We'll get out of this storm. You wait and see. This old girl's been in too many scrapes to end up breaking her back on a reef now.
Wind, Mr. Hanson. They'll both be washed overboard.
If anyone can do it, Clark can, sir. He's the strongest man aboard. And Mr. Gill's out there to show him how to make it fast.
If the wind shifts back to starboard, it'll carry us right on the reef in spite of our engines.
That's the chance we have to take, sir. The wind's in our stern now. If she only stayed there for an hour, so we'd be out of this and away from the reef. We've got to take the chance, sir.
Well, we have no other choice. We must leave our station and head for home. Tell him to go ahead, Mr. Hanson. It's the craziest idea I ever heard of in all my years at sea, but it just might work.
Can you make up fast up there, Clark? Take another turn around the bend. We don't want to split right down the bend. I think she's going to hold now. Stand clear. I'm coming down.
Captain Lindstrom. Did I hear the boy band rightly? Did he say we were going to sail this light ship? Mr. Gill says it can be done, Chief. No one knows exactly how she'll behave, but we're going to try. Clark and Mr. Gill are bending on the sails now. We'll soon know how she takes to it.
And what am I supposed to be doing with my engines down there sitting and twiddling my thumbs? What about the coal we have left?
We'll need the engines, too, to get out of this and home to Seattle, Chief. Now, you just make sure you don't let us down.
Just you'll keep her stack out of the sea, and you'll have no worries from below.
The tide will be changing in another half hour, Mr. Gill. We will be on our way home then.
Yes, sir. We will be.
Anything else, Chief?
I know, sir. I'll be getting below again. Oh. I just wanted to say.
Yes, Chief?
Well, if we do pull out of this and make port, just don't go saying it was your nosy half-baked sails that did it.
Hey, Clark, I'll stand you to the first round of beers when we hit Seattle tonight.
I've been listening to the CBS Radio Workshop and Lightship by Draper Lewis, based on a novel by Archie Binns. Music composed and conducted by Alexander Sembler and directed by Dick Teeler. Included in the cast were Louis Van Ruten, Ian Martin, Joe Helgeson, Herman Dinkin, Wayne Nelson, Daniel Locko, Walter Black, Ralph Bell, and Santos Ortega. This is Warren Sweeney speaking. The CBS Radio Workshop is produced in New York by Paul Roberts. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Sure is, and this is the Erie House radio program. And does that little gem, rate a moral, Dave?
Well, I don't know how well this works, but I got something to try.
Oh, okay. Erie House Radio shamefacedly presents... regardless, moral of the story.
Apologies, Degar. There's only one thing worse than being stuck on a light ship, and that's being stuck on a sunken ship. There you go.
And it goes round and around and around, and it comes out here. Oh, gosh. I think it was not All in the Family the first television show to have a flush sound effect.
Yes.
I believe it was, yeah.
I believe it was. They were a lot of firsts on that show.
But, there were.
Talk about taking risk. They did so much before, and I don't know how Norman Lear had the wherewithal or the ability to buck the censors. I mean, we hear about what Gene Roddenberry and Rod Serling had to fight to get their
and
stories.
Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, and the Smothers Brothers.
But like them, if you work very hard, you know, you got to work around the powers that be. But with very clever writing, you can say a lot that they don't want you to say.
That's true. You can.
And I marvel at the people who are best at it. Like Roddenberry.
Yeah.
And Rod Sterling. Yep. Roddenberry, Rod Sterling.
Yep.
And we'll see who else was the writers for who wrote the Richard Matheson, he wrote some of the Twilight Zone episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
Matheson was
second
a prolific writer.
Yes, he was.
And
yeah,
I don't know.
By the way, Smothers Brothers kind of got around some of the things they got on that were questionable. Was they the writers would write this really, really, really outlandish thing that they knew the censors would cut out, and so the censors would be so worried about that they wouldn't worry about some of the other inferences they had in there.
Well done, boys. Well done.
Nicely done. Yeah. Talking about brain fog there, giving brain fog to the censors there.
We can't have that. We can't have that, but you'll leave that. Okay, that's fine. No problem.
And the writers are like,
yep.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Well, that's kind of what happened in the Robin Hood series that was filmed over here. Actually, it was a bunch of blacklisted writers that ended up going over to England. They wrote it from there and sent the scripts from there over here, and it was filmed that way. And a lot of them had inferences to, you know, the whole socio-ecological system and how people fit in with the different, you know, levels of fiefdom and things like that, as well as, in a way, blacklisting all disguised in The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Well, are we talking about that black and white series of Robin Hood, feared by the bad, loved by the good, Robin Hood.
Yep.
Is that the Robin Hood I'm thinking of that's on YouTube?
That is the correct show, yes.
Yep.
Okay,
those are written by almost all blacklisted writers here in the U.S. who went to the U.K. and wrote the show and sent the scripts over.
Holy cow! I didn't know they went. I knew a lot of some of them went out to Mexico.
Yes.
And
yeah,
you know,
I was a little
I know
closer
they,
to going to UK. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had to write under fake names because they were blacklisted.
Whoa! Smarty pants. Well done.
There are ways. There's a ways to get around that ship.
There is.
I keep forgetting. I think, you know, when I'm thinking of a guy with a bow and arrow, I'm thinking of that other black and white thing, William Tell, marching behind William Tell. We know well that our cause is just to be free. We shall fight.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
be fascinated with stuff before your time. That's all I got to say to you, young lady.
Oh,
and I do mean young lady.
Well, let me tell you something. I just discovered that it was written by, based on a story by Tolstoy, and it was produced by the USSR. It's a silent film, sci-fi. It's on YouTube. It's called Alita,
yes.
Queen of Mars.
Yes, I have a copy of it. It's an interesting. When I start doing silent films, that's one I want to delve into. Alita.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the costumes, and some of the costumes look a little bit, well, like you saw in Star Trek: The Original Series. They're trying to hide everything, but not too much.
Yep.
Oh.
Calm down, yep.
Now. Oops, sorry.
Somebody slapped Dale on the nose with a wet newspaper.
That's right.
No, I don't have a newspaper. Oh, would an iPad do?
But yeah,
sure.
You,
why not?
As long as you don't break it. I need him on the show next week, so you know.
Oh, an iPad take a lot of punishment.
Well, we still have another program coming up.
We
Theater 5. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but theater. Another more modern show.
Yes. Take us if modern is 1964, yes it is.
Well, by comparison to what we usually do, yeah. I mean, it's
by comparison,
modern.
Yes.
Modern.
Yeah, the microwave was practically almost
invented. Yeah.
Almost.
I thought it was the Amana radar range. I thought that was only made for people who could win TV game show prizes. I didn't know you could actually buy one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could buy that great big honking, hulking thing that was probably... Now, that thing probably leaked microwaves all over the place.
Yes, I'm sure it did.
I mean...
We can hope.
I mean, if you were getting a sunburn in your living room, you had an Amana radar range, especially if it was on a cloudy day.
Yep. Good stuff. Make your skin nice and crusty.
But another story of a fog...
Yes. One more foggy story here.
We do, and this one is from Theater 5, originally broadcast.
It originally was broadcast December 28th of 1964.
And it's entitled... Theater
5 presents Five Strangers.
I beg your pardon. Are you speaking to me?
I'm sorry. It's this rotten weather. Mm. I've been here at the airport for 9 hours waiting for it to lift.
Yes, I saw you when I arrived.
Look, haven't I seen or met you somewhere before? And of course. Baines Cosmetics. You're Deborah Baines.
That's right.
Yes, I remember now about the newspaper story. It concerned your new line in cosmetics, right?
Well, it's a little more than that. You see, I've been negotiating with another leading cosmetics firm for, well, I really shouldn't be discussing it.
Oh, I understand perfectly. But it must be pretty important.
Well, it's extremely important. In fact, a great deal depends upon my arriving in Chicago before 9:30 in the morning.
Well, that makes two of us, Miss Baines. My deadline is 10 o'clock. Huh? After that, things are sure to get pretty sticky. If this fog doesn't lift soon, I don't like our chances.
Oh, can't we do anything about it?
I'm afraid not. By the way, my name is Monroe. Stephen Monroe.
Oh, not Stephen Monroe Enterprises. Uh-huh. Well, now it's my turn to be impressed. I've heard quite a lot about you, Mr. Monroe.
Don't you believe more than half of it?
Which half?
Well, the half I hope they believe.
They?
Yeah, the two over there on the bench. The old man and the lady.
Did you say lady?
Yes. She does seem a bit overpainted, doesn't she?
With Baines Cosmetics, I trust.
People like them are very important to us, Miss Baines. They buy your cosmetics and my...
Schemes?
I prefer to say buy my dreams.
Oh, come now. Shouldn't you say pipe dreams? Now, I don't mean that in a nasty way, Mr. Monroe, but you must admit that most of the companies you float have a way of suddenly going bankrupt.
True, but on the other hand, you must also admit that everything I do is completely legitimate.
Ah, tricky, but legitimate.
We both have to skirt corners a little bit, don't we, Miss Baines?
Do we?
As an example, let's take your deal with Antoine Laboratory Products. Since the consummation of that deal, Antoine's stock has gone down to precisely nothing, but Baines' stock has doubled in value. I salute you on that one.
Thank you.
And I imagine that if you keep your appointment in Chicago, Baines' stock will soon show another raise.
Well, I'm not in business to lose money.
No, nor I. You know, when you think about it, we're very much alike.
I think I'll accept that as a compliment, Mr. Monroe.
I'm pleased that you do. However, I wonder what the public, represented by those two people over there, I wonder what they'd think if they knew the truth about us.
Ah, there's the rub. I'm quite sure we won't let them learn.
Ah, you're so right. The way I see it, Miss Baines, there are two kinds of people in this world.
Hmm?
The winners and the losers. Our two friends over there are the losers.
Well, yet you must admit they have a certain amount of determination.
Why do you say that?
Well, there are only the four of us left in here in the waiting room, and a few hours ago there were scores of people. I wonder where it is that they're so anxious to go, and why.
You know, one thing is certain.
What's that?
They're not together. I haven't seen them speak to each other yet.
Oh, but they will, Mr. Monroe. The losers of this world need company. They have a kind of herd instinct that ultimately brings them together.
This waiting, it is not so nice, yeah?
I can think of better things to do.
Oh, no doubt. Let me see. I have been here now for more than 3 hours.
Hmm. Beautiful looking watch.
Oh, thank you. You know, at one time, people took great pride in owning pocket watches like this. Entirely handmade, carefully and lovingly made. Yeah, but now, when everybody's life is actually old by time, people buy watches that come out of machines, like Frankfurters. many of the watches are very, very good, but it is not the same.
Are you a watchmaker?
Yeah, yes, ever since I am a young man in Europe. But now I am an American citizen for 35 years. Yeah, 35 years, but I do not lose the way of speaking or even sometimes of thinking. Oh, you must excuse me. I introduce myself. I am Felix Kram.
And I'm Sally Dowd.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Sally. I hope you do not mind my talking to you like this?
No, not in the least. Talk away, Mr. Cram.
Good. Helps to pass away the time, yeah?
Oh, yes.
Time. Time has been my whole life. That is why I wish to fly to Chicago. There's a watchmaker's convention tomorrow. There are not many of us left to keep the old ways, but we do our best.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
How nice of you to say that. How very nice. But now we talk about you, yeah?
Oh, well, there isn't very much to talk about, Mr. Cram.
What? No, no, that I do not believe.
No, no.
You are a most pretty woman, a nice person. We all have something to say, loved ones to think about, to tell others about.
Nope, you're drawing a blank this time.
Blank?
Loved ones to talk about. They're not in stock at the moment.
You have no family?
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean
no,
to...
No, it's all right. Don't let it keep you from taking out your photographs.
How did you know?
Just a guess, Mr. Cram.
Well, I would like to show you one photograph. Here. This
oh.
is a picture of my family.
Yes. Yeah, very nice family, Mr. Cram.
We get together a few times a year. This photograph was taken during the last family gathering at Christmas time. Sally?
Yeah?
You look so tired.
I was born tired.
It is not of my business, but where are you going?
Well, I'm trying to go to Chicago.
You have work there?
Well,
I... No, 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 do not answer. I am an inquisitive old man who asks far too many questions.
I'll tell you something, Mr. Cram. You know, it's a nice change to have someone interested enough in me to ask questions.
I am sure that many people are interested in you.
Yeah, but for the wrong reasons. You see, Mr. Cram, I'm what you might call an entertainer.
You sing?
Well, I dance, you might say.
Oh, that must be very exciting, that kind of life. Have you been on TV, Sally?
I don't do that kind of dancing.
Oh, the fog seems thicker, if anything. I have never seen such a fog. It's like smoke from a fire.
If I had known about this fog, I'd have taken a train this afternoon.
Yeah, well, it's too late for that now.
There must be some way to get there. You know, if I don't arrive in Chicago by 9:30 in the morning, I'd stand to lose a fortune.
What about me? I've planned this move for months. I'd have been there yesterday if it hadn't been for a sudden business deal.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Listen.
The latest weather report predicts widespread fog conditions to prevail over the eastern and central portions of the country for at least the next 7 hours.
Oh.
High winds are expected to reach the Chicago area by mid-morning. These winds from the west will undoubtedly disperse the fog. And Chicago's
mid-morning?
Airport will then be
but it might just as well be next September.
The weather report could be wrong.
Well, let's face it, Miss Baines, we've had it.
Well, I am not going to give up.
Neither am I. But all we can do is sit and wait and hope for a miracle.
I'd give almost anything to get to Chicago.
How much is that in cash, lady?
What?
I said, how much is that in cash?
I don't see how my business concerns you.
Well, the point is it could. You see, I represent Togar's Independent Air Service. Maybe you've heard our motto. We fly anywhere, if the price is right.
You mean Bob Barker's in this?
Or Drew Carey, yeah.
Or Drew Carey.
One or the other. I think at this time, Bob Barker was doing Truth or Consequences.
Could have been.
Interesting.
It was a fun show, too. Truth or Consequences.
It was. It's funny how they gave away almost no prizes, and people would embarrass themselves on national television for those
yep.
almost no prizes.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's one thing for Let's Make a Deal. At least you had a chance of getting some really nice stuff, but
yep.
Truth or Consequences, I mean,
yeah.
you got to laugh, and that's pretty much all you got.
Yeah, yeah. A home edition of the Truth or Consequences game or something like that, yeah. That's what you usually walked away with.
Oh, my God.
And maybe a couple of boxes of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco
treat.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least you wouldn't starve.
Flavor can't be beat.
I think everyone was probably after their proverbial 15 minutes of fame. Maybe Andy Warhol had made that, coined that phrase.
Yep.
Everyone wants their 15 minutes.
Hey, I talked yesterday about my little fight with a pretty nasty frog. What do you guys, have any frog stories?
I remember when I had this app on a phone, and I passed by wide open Wi-Fi signal. Who knew? But anyway, my app picked up. It was for a radio for emergency service, police, firefighters, etc. And the fog was really heavy, and heard on there that a police car slammed right into a fire hydrant in the fog.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, they were fine. It's just so much for the patrol car. 186, 186, fire hydrant. That's a fire hydrant.
Yes,
fire hydrant.
I said fire hydrant.
Yeah.
They're probably laughing at him.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Excuse me. No. Just clearing our throats here. That's fire hydrant, everybody. Guess what? Edward threw fire hydrant. Nope. We're fine. Tow truck is coming to the fire hydrant. Roger that. Yeah,
funny.
So, I was howling at the moon over that one. But, there have been a few times where I've been in the proverbial pea soup fog.
Yeah, for me, that was the 70s and 80s. But I digress.
Yeah, those good old disc jockey days. Yep.
Ah, oh, yeah.
Yep. And before.
Yeah. But, But having never grown up in Los Angeles and never put up with the smog, I've seen images of that where people had, they had this layer.
Yes.
Of smog. I mean, it was literally
terrible.
Just spread right on top of the city.
It was terrible.
Talk about needing a mask. I'm surprised they weren't handing out masks back then. I mean,
people were tough. They could take it,
Yeah.
They were smoking Luckies with no filters. Come on.
Oh, I forget that. Yeah.
It's good prep work.
Yeah. Oh, we just light up a Lucky. That'll get through the fog.
That's right. Prepping your lungs
That's a fog I hadn't thought about, because I know there are times when you could literally see layers of smoke. And that would almost be like a fog that you could see the thickest at the top, and it keeps getting a little bit thinner as it goes down. But, man, I remember seeing, even when we had the bingo going for the radio station at one point, and when you were allowed to smoke in a building in Ohio, a public building in Ohio, literally you go out there and every night when I came home from the station, the wife would order me downstairs to the shower, straight. So
no.
At points where I just go in the back door, go downstairs and strip down the clothes and get into the shower.
Ooh.
So instead of being ordered
wow.
there, I was eventually trained to just go down there. But yeah, you could see literally the layers of smoke.
Ew.
Yeah, I remember driving downtown Cleveland. The air was just thick with smoke. We grew up with it, so it seemed natural. It's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of steel industry down here. And yeah, it is what it is.
Wow. I think, don't they still allow in casinos smoking?
Not in Cleveland.
Not in Ohio. Yeah, not in Ohio.
What if there are, even if it's on a First Nation, even if it belongs to the First Nation people?
Well,
we don't
have one in Ohio. We don't have one in Ohio that's a First Nation.
Yeah.
Closest would probably be New York. Would probably be the closest one that would be a reservation in the game.
Because I feel sorry for people who have to work in that environment. You know, you just have to. I can't imagine.
Till you start getting tips, then it's not so bad.
Oh, maybe. I don't know about that, but I drag. Yes, that's another variety of fog. The fog of camel smoke and Lucky.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm a bad man.
Licking his chops over it. Ew.
Mm-mm-mm. Tasty nicotine. Mm-mm-mm.
Why don't you throw in a Chesterfield commercial while you're at it?
You know, I think I have one.
Oh, gosh.
Not Chester. Oh, I don't have any cigarette commercials. Oh, doggone it.
Oh, tisk, tisk, tisk. Too bad.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
this fog stuff reminds me of an episode of Doctor Who. I suppose we can mention that later on in the after show, but.
Yeah, let's wrap up this one. Theater 5, okay. Five Strangers, and we'll talk about that right after it's done. We'll have plenty of time when it's done.
I've never heard of your company, Toga.
Well, usually we carry only freight.
Do you have an aircraft available for a flight to Chicago?
That's why I'm here, Monroe.
Oh, you know me, eh?
Of you.
How do you get a clearance in this fog?
I don't need a clearance. I operate from a field about 10 miles from here.
And you'd be willing to fly even in this weather?
Well, if you don't mind flying in a DC-3.
Are you a qualified pilot?
Now, look, I was listening to you two. I know how badly you want to get to Chicago. All right, I can fly you there. The rest now is entirely up to you.
How much do you want for the trip, Mr. Tover?
Well, a few minutes ago you said you'd give almost anything. I'd still like to know how much that amounts to in cash.
Well, I'm willing to give you $500.
Right now I'm bartering with the lady, Monroe. I'm sorry, but $500's not enough. Make it $1,000, you got a deal.
I have no choice. I'll pay you the $1,000.
Fine. I'll have you in Chicago before 9 a.m.
Well, how about me?
Well, how about you?
Well, I'll throw in $500.
I'll tell you what, Monroe. You just wave that $500 in the air and see if it'll fly you to Chicago.
Now, see here.
As far as I'm concerned, Monroe, you can walk.
All right, Toger. $1,000.
Now you can fly.
Pardon me?
Yeah?
I'd like to get to Chicago, too, but $1,000...
How much do you have?
You'd laugh if I told you.
Is it more than 50?
Yes.
Well, that's my price, 50.
What? You're charging her only $50?
That's the tourist rate. You're first class. But don't get me wrong, Monroe. When I say first class, I'm talking about the rate. By the way, I collect my fares in advance.
I don't like your attitude, Toger, now.
Well, there's nothing at all that I like about you. Now, just pick up your luggage and shut up before I change my mind about taking you.
Mr. Toger, what about my friend here, Mr. Cram? He'd like to come along, too.
Do you have room for me, too, Mr. Toga?
Do you have $50?
Yes.
Then let's go.
What is it?
Do you mind if I come forward?
No, come on. Matter of fact, I can use the company. Yeah, sit down. Oh, right there. Be my co-pilot. There's coffee in that thermos. Help yourself. You can finish it.
Oh, thanks. Hot coffee.
Yeah. Hey, you must be cold in that thin outfit you're wearing.
But it's not the cold as much as it was the company back there.
Oh?
Yeah, Mr. Cram went to sleep. I was left with the other two.
The con man and the cosmetics lady, huh?
Oh, I knew about Deborah Baines, of course. She's always in the papers. But he's new to me.
He isn't to me. My father invested money in one of Monroe's companies. The company folded. It was a setup from start to finish. My father had one major failing.
Yeah?
He trusted people.
And you don't.
Well, you noticed that I collected my fares before we took off.
What I noticed mostly was how you enjoyed taking Monroe's money.
Yeah. It was exactly $1,000 that my father invested in his company.
Yeah, but you charged Deborah Baines $1,000, too.
Well, that was for associating with Monroe.
Oh. Soupy out there, isn't it?
Couldn't get any soupier.
How are we doing?
Better than I expected. Hey, you must be pretty anxious to get to Chicago to fly through this stuff in an old DC-3.
Oh, I've got a job waiting for me.
Oh?
At the Paradise Club.
Oh.
Ah, you've heard of it.
Yeah, I've been there. What kind of a job?
Dancer.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I should have said stripteaser.
Well, that's dancing.
You must be joking.
There are worse ways to make a living.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know.
Hey, that old fella back there.
Oh, Mr. Cram?
Yeah. He likes you. I mean, in a nice kind of a way. And I figure he's a pretty good judge of character.
Well, it's a new line.
Funny thing is, I think I mean it.
Hey, you're making a pass at me.
Of course. A serious pass. As a matter of fact, I'm going to watch your debut at the Paradise. And I promise you, not once will I ask what a nice girl like you is doing in a place like that.
Thanks.
Well,
Toga, it's cold back there. You have any blankets?
No.
Well, shouldn't this plane be heated?
Well, cargo doesn't need heating.
What's in that thermos bottle?
Well, there was some coffee, Mr. Monroe, but I finished it.
Where are we, Toga?
9,000 feet above the ground, halfway to Chicago. Now, why don't you just go back where you belong?
Well, she's here, isn't she?
At my invitation.
I wonder why.
Well, listen, you stink.
It's all right, Mr. Toga. I don't mind. I grew up on talk like that. Runs off my back like water off a duck.
Hey, what's that?
Huh? Oh, it's just the starboard engine. I'll have to feather the prop. Don't worry. One engine will do the job.
Hey, that engine's on fire. It's burning.
What? Listen, both of you, get back with the others. Lie down on the floor. Brace yourselves against something. I'm taking her down.
Mr. Cram, are you all right?
Yes, Sally, I think so.
Miss Baines? Monroe?
We're still in one piece, Toga. No thanks to you.
All right.
Mr. Toga, over there.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
A light. All right, everybody.
All right.
Come on. Come on. Hello? Hello, anybody in there?
For heaven's sake, try the door. It's freezing cold.
All right.
Oh. What a strange place.
Absolutely bare. Empty. Just the door and one window.
Mr. Cram, are you sure you're all right?
Yes, just a little tired, maybe.
Well, why don't you sit down and rest, huh?
No, my dear. I think I will stand here by the window with Mr. Toga.
Stay with us, Sally. Here. Hold my hand.
Yes.
Oh, a touching sight. Well, enjoy yourself while you can, Toga, because you're in real trouble. That aeroplane of yours should have been condemned. We were fools to let you talk us into that flight.
I didn't have to talk you into anything. You practically begged to come aboard.
I don't think a judge and jury will be concerned about that. You mark my words, Toga. You're in real trouble.
Mr. Monroe, I'm frightened.
Now, there's nothing to be afraid of, Miss Baines. All we have to do is wait for a search party to find us.
But the light.
The light? What are you talking about?
This room. It's illuminated.
Well, of course it is.
But there's no lamp or bulb. Where's the light coming from?
Well,
there's also the crash, Monroe. We plowed straight into that mountain. Now, just look at us. No injuries. Our clothing isn't even soiled.
We were spared by a miracle, Toger, but it'll take more than a miracle to keep you out of jail when I'm finished with you.
Right now, Monroe, you're the least of my worries. Have a look out there.
Eh?
Yeah, there. Right through the window. You can see the flames, can't you?
Well, there are men out there.
Yeah.
Well, we're saved.
Oh, look again. Go on, Monroe. Look.
They seem to be carrying something from the wreckage.
Five stretchers. One for each of us.
I'm scared.
So am I. Hold on tight.
Well, what does this mean?
It means we're dead. You fool. We're dead. We're dead.
Yeah. And the question now is, what happens next?
Has presented Five Strangers, written by Don Herring, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Augusta Dabney, Court Benson, Evelyn Juster, Robert Dryden, and William Redfield. Audio engineer Neil Pultz, sound technician Ed Blaney, script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Ted Bell. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
There you go. And this is an EHOTR radio production. How about that?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Hopefully we like it enough to
We do.
Eerie House Radio crosses its fingers for another garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies of Tugar, if you don't want to die after hitting a mountain in a plane, you at least want to have a broken arm or a chipped tooth. That's it.
Could have been worse. I could have made one up. yeah, absolutely. That wraps up that. This is show number 799. How about that? You know what that means? Yeah, so that means Friday at 6:30 Eastern, it's show number 800. We're going to have Phil Harris and Alice Faye with the $800 Kiss. And Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue, 1-800-BIG-BAND, parts 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a
lengthy show. And then we're just, we got a random topic for Saturday, being cast away. And we've got the castaways from X-1 and CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
The Unquiet Tomb.
Now, wait a minute. Is X-1 on the 800 show? No.
No.
I guess Saturday is going to be a two-hour show. Fine with me.
Might not. Well, actually, the X-1, I have to look and see how long that is. But generally, those are a little bit shorter. And
yeah, we'll find
I think
a way
we
to
can,
make it work.
We've got to probably make it work into a 90-minute program so we don't bump into Gar's show.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do what we can to wrap it up by 8 so you can all check out Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul, as you will tonight, in a mere 8.5 minutes from right now. And with that 8.5 minutes, what do you think, CW? Do you prefer music or perhaps the Wheel O' Radio?
Let's do the Wheel O' Radio.
And if you would like to take the honors, you may spin until we all win.
Very good. Here we go. Once, twice, thrice. Here we go.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
From the... Excuse me, Howard, there's someone at the door. Come in.
Who will be with you when I'm far away? When I fall, let me hear that high note, my throat.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, you can't do that.
Why not? I've been imitating Al Jolson for years. I got a million of them.
Now, just a minute, madam.
Everybody wants to get into the act. Who are you?
I'm Jimmy Durante.
1,000 pardons, sir. I didn't recognize your voice.
Couldn't you tell by looking at my nose?
Is that your nose?
Yeah, what about it?
Anything blooming that good ought to be protected by a smudge pot. Well, why don't you say something?
I'd like to, but right now I don't know which one of us is me. If I'm not getting too inconsequential, tell me. Them are the words I can pronounce. Tell me, who are you?
I'm president of the Pismo Beach League. Oh, women voted for Durante Club.
Well, I'm deeply honored. But why did you decide to back me?
Because you're strong, handsome, and virile-looking. I said you're strong, handsome, and virile-looking.
Who's arguing with you? Wait a minute. This congestion has gone far enough. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet one of the country's outstanding performers who does a better impersonation of me than I do, Rose Marie.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Well, I'm glad you dropped in, Rose Marie. You know, I heard that Mercury record you made of my song, Chitty Bee, Chitty Bee, Chitty Bee. And believe me, I was thrilled right down to my cuticles.
Well, I heard the record you made of the same song on MGM, Jimmy. And there's just one thing I like about it very, very much.
What's that?
It's breakable.
I'm surrounded by assassins. Look, Rosemarie, let you and I sing that song together right now. We'll make it a duel.
You mean a duet, don't you, Jimmy? A duel is where somebody gets hurt.
You've never sung with me before, have you?
Chitterby, 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 chitterby.
My job is in jeopardy.
Yah, yah, yah. Chitterby, 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 chitterby.
I love the classics.
Yah, yah. Someday the world will recognize this crazy thing. I know the day will come when Frank and Bing will sing. Chitterby, 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 chitterby.
Just like the record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute, I sing too. Chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee.
This guy should be on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a bite.
Chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee, chitty bee.
You know Sinatra's gotta go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This kid does a pretty good imitation of me. You know, Jimmy, the other night I was dining at a very classy restaurant. So I ordered a pheasant under glass. I had eaten most of the glass and was just about getting down set a pheasant when I noticed a sign that said, watch your hat and coat. Well, I watched my hat and coat, and what happened? Somebody stole my pheasant. A catastrophe.
This song will sell a million copies, maybe two.
It's gonna be another interesting to do. Chitter-bee, 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 chitter-bee.
Finger pole!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the finish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a good fortune to catch a documentary about Rosemarie, and I had no idea
yeah.
she was a child star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew her from that before I knew her, realized that she was the same Rosemarie that was in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's where
and she was called...
I learned from this show, from Erie House, that she was once billed as Baby Rosemarie.
Baby yep. Rosemarie until she was about 12 years old, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. I think I shared that
yep.
shortly after I first saw this documentary I'm referencing.
Yep.
Quite an amazing
called,
lady.
Called
quite
Wait,
an amazing lady.
It's called Wait for Your Laugh, is that documentary. If you ever have a chance to see it, you have to watch it.
Yeah. Very informative, and it's an eye-opener as to exactly how talented she was and kind
Absolutely.
Of powerful behind the scenes, too.
Yeah, yeah. All this because all the mobsters loved her.
Yes.
All the mob, they loved her, and that gave her a heck of a lot of power in many places where she went. Yes.
Yep.
Wow. So when Scarface really likes you, you really know you're in. Right. Right. They make an offer you can't refuse.
Yep. Yeah, you don't want to push Rosemarie around. That's probably a big no-no.
Yeah, I would not want to risk that.
No.
No, 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 no.
Not
no.
wise. Not wise.
Not at all. Maybe that's how she got in good with Sheldon Leonard, who was the producer of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
He always sounded like a mobster. I love when he acted.
I
yeah.
don't know if he
yeah,
was a mobster at all, but gosh, he sounded like a mobster. You're
yeah.
right.
He did.
Yeah, he did that one TV show with Bernadette Peters. I don't think it lasted very long, but he was a mobster in that as well. So, yeah.
Typecasting.
Yep. There you go.
Perhaps
you
typecasting.
Go.
We may not know. But what I do know... is we will be back for our show number 800. That's next Friday at 6:30 Eastern. Holy cow, where do the time go?
Yep, and during that show, the second program we air will be the 1,500th complete radio show that we've shared right here on Erie House Radio.
So it's 800 and then 1,500.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm. Yep.
If anyone plays the lotto, there are your lucky numbers.
Yep. And we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up in about 40 seconds or so. So don't forget to head on over to their Twitches and catch our buddy Horrible Horror, starring Garla Ghoul. Good night. Thanks for joining us.
Puffy on the back when you do that. Yep.
Castle lights are growing.
Just want to hit me. That's all. Most people do.
There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Don't forget to wash your goat.
Ooh, look perfect on my end.
Don't want to run around with a soiled goat, you know. That's
you wouldn't want to do that. No.
Yeah, no.
Hey Dale, I sent you a PM there in your Facebooks. You might want to take a quick peek at. Yes, interesting show. I think we're out of fog for a while, so
yes, I
things
do
should be a little clearer.
Upload that, Dave.
I did. It's there. Yeah, I did. Just go ahead and refresh, and it'll be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
How refreshing. How refreshing.
Yeah. A sprinkle a day keeps that over.
Do you hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow. I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants, too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're going to beat the hell out of that one for a while.
No,
we
kidding.
Do.
I'm surprised FedEx or UPS has not resurrected that ad. I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to add to our little stable of sound bites, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, of course, adding more intros. We have many, many intros. One we're going to use. You're going to love this, CW. We mentioned this last night.
Play it for – oh, you don't have it uploaded. Never mind.
Well, I will. Hold on. I happen to be deleting other stuff. So let's – here, this will get – yeah, this will give you an idea of what we're scheming.
Any second now. All of those in the after party, you get a sneak preview coming in April.
Coming in mid-April, a little special thing that we're doing. Let's see, is it done rendering?
And it should be there, yeah.
Oh, no, it's not a refresh. I just got to get over into the studio now. Yep, that's right. We're going to have an intro to we're going to have a special tribute to the Flintstones. Dave has found. You ready for this, CW?
Let's go.
Radio programs with B. Benaderet. Okay, so we got Betty there. Naturally, Mel Blanc. So there's your Barney. Believe it or not, Gene Vanderpil. I tried finding stuff from Gene Vanderpil, and I could not. So we got the voice of Wilma, and, of course, Alan Reed in a CBS Radio Mystery Theater will be doing on the Saturday of that weekend with good old Fred Flintstone himself, Alan Reed. So that's going to be our Flintstone weekend.
Outstanding.
Kind of keeping cavemen in the forefront for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Well, huh. Caveman. Wonder why.
How can we leverage that, Dave?
Yeah, maybe someday we'll have a new UGG book out here.
Yep.
For all to see. I'm still waiting on some proofing to come back, but I am working. I've got at least one story. Well, as you saw, I already have one story done. I got another one about halfway filled in with some clip art that I have been purchasing the clip art, believe it or not.
Ah, good.
I've been doing it from Etsy instead of from the card stock or the iStock and things like that because they want way too much money for stuff.
Ew.
So.
The UGG novel is coming soon. The masses are waiting with bated breath to learn about the very origins of life here on this great green earth.
I want to get this UGG character because I also want to be able to offer an UGG mug.
An UGG mug.
UGG mug, yes.
UGG mug.
It's just too much fun not to make an UGG mug, you know?
Yes, it's covered in hair.
No.
Will your book have a foreword by Iga? Iga.
Iga.
I don't think so, but
maybe what's her name can write a foreword. Oh God. It'd be funnier if I had a better memory. My memory's slipping as I get older. The gal who was in It's About Time.
Imogene Coco.
Imogene
Coco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And we are scheming some pre-recorded stuff, CW, and we want you to be involved in that when we get to it. But we might be doing an all-caveman-type show on another venue, not here on Blog Talk, so that we can use copyright material.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, so
if you're going to do something caveman-ish, since it doesn't have to be copyright material, you can kind of skirt that sort of thing, you must get Joan Crawford's movie Trog.
Well, it won't be a visual thing. It'll be an audio thing.
Yeah. Just an audio thing, yeah.
Sound bites from that movie.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. That is a very grand idea. But, yeah, we want to get loaded with sound bites. We want to use songs, perhaps some you can think of about cavemen that were popular at one time or another. Gotta find a woman.
Yep, troglodyte.
Yep.
And
one of the greatest skits ever done by Big Chuck and Little John.
Yep.
Was when they lip-synced and did a video to Troglodyte. That was good stuff.
Yep. Means a whole lot to us here in Northeast Ohio.
Yes, it do.
Cool.
Those of us boomers. Yeah.
Do you know that song, CW? VW.
What is the song
now? It's called Troglodyte. We're going to go back, way back in time.
Nope, not ringing a bell. I think this is more local your area.
No, I don't think so. I think it was a novelty record that got some national. It got made a lot bigger here in Cleveland due to Big Chuck and Little John. But,
yes, it was. And it was interesting because record markets they actually varied because it's not as much national stuff was going on. Like when they did, which one of those songs that Gilardi used, I think, that had been out for like a couple of years, or maybe it was Big Chuck used it. And then I think it was Gilardi used it, and then they, or had it used for Gilardi. And it became so requested that it became a top seller here in Cleveland when it had already been around for like 3 years.
Amazing.
Wow. Nice.
Yep.
Oh, by the by, yeah, that Doctor Who episode that sort of reminds me of the fog. It was Doctor Who number 4. It was Tom Baker. And it was, I forgot the full title, but it was about the real-life mystery of this lighthouse in England. It was on one of their little rocky little islands.
You
probably heard of the story. All the light keepers, just when the ships did come to relieve them, they were all gone. And
yeah, we did an unsolved mystery about that. We played that.
Yeah.
I don't think we, yeah.
So yeah, and the best. Yeah, you know, and everybody said, oh, they were abducted by aliens or pirates came or all this stuff. The best guess was one of them went out and the other two were eating their dinner and the other one was delayed and they went out and they both went out and they all got swept out to sea by probably a rogue wave. People really didn't believe in rogue waves that much at the time. Of course, now we know rogue waves are real. All those sailors' tall tales were not tall tales. Rogue waves are real.
Ooh.
They come up. They're unnaturally high, and it probably they just got all swept out. One was trying to help the other, and they weren't anchored down properly or something, or the wave was stronger than they anticipated. And I'm thinking that's the most logical thing that occurred versus a UFO deciding, la da 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 da, oh, look, here's a lighthouse way in the middle of nothing. What's the best these schmucks? No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I guess we heard Jimmy Durante once. We could probably hear him again.
Yep. Let's do.
Yeah, because we probably should be heading over to see Gar the Ghoul on Portable Horror.
Starring Gar the Ghoul.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Gar, the one and only, accept no substitute.
Well, let's bring the old guy out.
Mr. Durante, we're waiting just for you.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night.
Well, thank you, Goaty Goat.
We had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodles.
Toodling, yeah.
What we say, and
Inca-tinka-doo.
He sounds like Rosemary.
That was fun.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow, I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants, too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye!
Good night.